started off, obviously, 40 years ago with no intention except to just be a good band, you know, and ended up as part of a whole movement that everything changed. But we didn't have a political agenda like some of the other bands that came later. We were just wanted to be a band in the way that bands that we admired from the 60s had been. I mean, Brian, our guitarist, loved the Stooges and the MC5 and bands like that, and I loved the garage bands of the time from America that were like Shadows of Night, Siege, Strawberry Alarm Clock. And of course, I did find years later, you had an amazing garage band scene in Australia. It's almost identical to what was happening in America. We didn't have that in England. We had, you know, obviously the Merseybeat sound and all that happened, and the Beatles and the Stones. But that raw garage stuff where it was tinged with madness and psychedelia didn't seem to happen here as much. It quickly went into folky prog rocky sounds. That early music was very akin to what the Damned were at the very beginning, I think, you know. When people have never heard of us and they suddenly get a record or someone plays them something, it's usually, oh, I've never heard this before, what is it? And they're surprised, you know, because it's something they haven't discovered. And I think this year, you know, obviously due to this 40-year thing, we seem to be becoming a recognisable band that were actually good, you know. And I think a lot of people thought we died years ago or something, we're no longer around, or had no idea of what we did. So we were always on the kind of periphery, and the only time we really made it to any sort of extent was the MCA years with Eloise, and I think things were a bit 80s then, and that all fell through very quickly, and we went back to our struggling.
People here hold the Damned in incredible esteem, so you must be very proud.
I am proud, you know. I do have the luxury of I'm able to step away from it as if I'm not part of it and look at it as a separate thing, and it enables me to enjoy it. And sometimes I find it hard to believe that's actually me in there. You know,
is that right?
And you're right, what happened was when Brian split the band up, we sat down and said, what are we going to do now? You know, because what happened prior to that is Brian had written the first album, written the second album, and he really wasn't interested, I think, in having other input. He wanted it to be his band and his way kind of thing, which is fine, you know, because it was fantastic. But I think he didn't realise that we were all really strong songwriters in our own. We didn't know it then. It was, you know, embryonic, if you like. Captain only played bass because he so much wanted to play in the band and
really?
He seemed so good, you know, and he's a great bass player, actually.
Really?
Shame he doesn't play more often. Yeah, but he was first and foremost a guitarist, so when we said, you know, what we're going to do now, it was obvious that Captain would go on guitar, so we had the guitarist, and we just had to find a bass player. But it was very much, you know, a toe in the water and see how it went, and that's why those first early shows, in fact, we had Lemmy come and play bass, and we were called the Doomed for about four or five shows, I think, just to see if it would go okay. And of course it went from strength to strength, and then we went in and did, you know, the next album, and it was fantastic, and we just grew as musicians from then onwards.
Hey!
members of the band, you'd never expect them to be in the same room for very long together, you know. You wouldn't expect them to get on, really. It's just weird, there's some weird chemistry, because we all like completely different things. We're all different individually. We do have some things in common, obviously.
Well, you like trains together, don't you?
Trains, you've been reading stuff about them.
Well, I interviewed Captain Sensible.
Captain always loved trains.
Yes,
when I first met him, I first went to his house in Croydon. He lived with his parents. He had a bedroom upstairs, and I went into this room, and it was just like being in a waiting room at a railway station.
Was it really?
Same colours, had the sign on the wall, Selhurst Station. And what happened was, when I pulled down the old railway station, he went in and took loads of stuff that was going to be just, you know, thrown away, because he loved the station so much, and he loved trains.
Mm.
And so And I mean, his room, but besides the fact there were fag butts everywhere as well, it felt like you were in them. I love steam trains, but I'm not a train spotter. I love the romance of the old steam, you know. Stu is actually a proper train spotter. He's, you know, he gets all the numbers and the whole bit. He's obsessed. And he always says to me that the Damned saved him from being a full-time train spotter in his life.
Are there any songs that you wish you'd never have to play again live?
No, not really. I mean, I don't... because we've got so much material, we have the luxury of picking and choosing different things, although we always seem to play New Rose and Meet, 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 which I don't mind, actually. I like doing them. It's a weird thing. Hello, there's a postman coming to my door. Sorry about this. He's got two big parcels.
My friend Spencer has a question here. Spencer?
I'd like to hear you open the parcel live on the radio.
Well, I'll just open the front door.
Yeah?
All right, come on, bring him in. Bring him in.
Is it a bill or is it a book from Amazon? What is it?
I know what it is. It's not for me.
It's a Hornby train.
Yeah, for Patricia. Sign of my parcel, gents. Hold on. There we go. David Vanian. Sorry about this,
gentlemen. I'm talking to Dave Vanian from The Damned on the eve of their 40th anniversary tour on Brisbane.
The weird thing I have here is all the postmen know me really well. They all come round and, hello, Dave, how you doing? Here's the gigs, man. What's happening? You know, it's quite nice, you know. In fact, the weird thing is, if I do a London show, everyone has these kind of glamorous... people on the guest list that are all kind of, you know, people from other bands, and so and so wants to go, oh, yes, but and mine are all kind of postmen and buildings and policemen and stuff. It's all kind of like, you know, because they're the people that I think deserve to get in, you know.